going to invite us just to a very, very brief moment of prayer. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, as we reflect once again on the Easter story, give us believing minds, courageous hearts, and the conviction of will to follow the risen Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning is another first, isn't it? This is the first time in my life as a minister I am not physically present with my brothers and sisters in Christ to celebrate Easter. Come to think of it, this Lent brought another first for me and for all of us. It's the first time we've had to give up gathering with other Christians to worship the Lord during Lent. It's not happy-making. Our sanctuary is empty this morning, as are sanctuaries all across our nation. But it dawned on me, so was the tomb empty. I so love the wonderful story of the first Easter. And I also want to thank you for joining with me this morning, because it is just so good to be with like-minded people to celebrate the day that changed the world forever. As I reflect on this Easter, it strikes me that the experiences of those first followers were in some ways similar to our experience in April of 2020. And what I mean by that is, our routines have been altered in so many ways. As I mentioned, our worship is not what we would normally expect. Nor, for that matter, are the snacks and coffee following the worship, unless Edith can work a miracle for us. Or you're sipping a cup of Joe or Earl Grey right now. Sabrina and I will have no family guests sitting at our table this evening. Some of our children were supposed to come, but they no longer are able to do so. Now, on the plus side, that means we don't have to prepare a huge meal with all of the trimmings. But then on the negative side, well, we don't have to prepare a huge meal with all the trimmings because we won't be seeing them. Things are different this Easter, aren't they? As we cloister in self-isolation, ensuring we maintain social distancing every time we do head out. For many, it is rather unnerving, and it feeds fears. It brings loneliness and even despair. Now, I said that in some ways, situations were similar. Let me go back to those first disciples. You see, they had just gotten ready to celebrate Passover. And the Passover, as many of you remember, was a religious celebration that hearkened back to the time when the Jews were slaves in Egypt. And on that evening, the evening known as Passover, the angel of death passed over their homes, but didn't pass over the homes of the Egyptians. And so on that devastating night, death fell on their firstborn, and Pharaoh finally agreed to free them. In Jesus' day, the Passover meal was the beginning of a 7 or 8 day celebration, and so the disciples were expecting to have a wonderful time with Jesus and each other. The eating and being together for the festival had just begun. It was right as it had just begun that their celebrations, everything went wrong. Jesus had been arrested. He was tried. He was executed. That all happened in a short 24-hour period. And so instead of a room filled with laughter and joy as they celebrated the routines and rituals of their important religious holiday, they found themselves reeling in disbelief, disappointment, grief, grief, confusion, and a sadness that all seemed to be coming unglued. We're fortunate because we know the first Easter story did not end there. Today, the first day of the week, in their fear and confusion, the disciples, Mary and others, visited the tomb. To their surprise, or maybe horror, they discovered it was empty. You see, it's interesting. Their first reaction when they found the tomb to be empty was not to sing, "Alleluia, Jesus Christ is risen today," because they weren't expecting Jesus would be raised. The empty tomb perplexed them. The reaction was one of confusion and suspicion. As John tells us in the two verses following our lesson read by Nina this morning, Mary was crying, wondering who had stolen the body and where they had put it. Then something totally unexpected happened. The teacher appeared and spoke to Mary, and later on that first Easter to all of the disciples. And they were faced with an incredible reality. Jesus had been raised from the dead. This would change everything. For in the resurrection, God had spoken. Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Christ. And through the death and resurrection of Christ, death was no longer the last word. Nor, for that matter, is injustice, disease, or evil. Because grace, forgiveness, and life have won the day because of Easter. Now, granted, we might have our doubts as we are hunkered down in our homes, horrified by images of mass graves in New York even, and news that the worst may yet come. But we are people who trust Jesus as Lord. Are we not? We are the ones who sing, "Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah." As people of faith, we cling to the resurrection and all it means for us and for the entire universe. Christ's resurrection is the rhythm that beats through our lives. It is the fabric into which we weave our lives. It is what we swim in. It is the air we breathe. And so when things around us seem to be spinning seemingly out of control, we remember we are a resurrection people who live in the light of Jesus' resurrection. Paul speaks of this in his letter to his friends at Colossae. And I'm going to reread a part of it from the message. I love the way Peterson catches it. Paul writes, "So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life in Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective." And what great counsel that is. Look up to the risen Christ. For when you do that, you see things from the perspective of the one who died and was raised again. You see things from the perspective of the one who said, "Do not fear for anything, for I am with you always." In the risen Christ, we see the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us, as we read in Philippians and Ephesians. In the eyes of Christ, we are his Easter people. Through the eyes of the risen Christ, we see God's victory. Indeed, this morning is the day we shout, Hallelujah. Amen.